As I said earlier, today is the day the worldwide church celebrates the Epiphany. What are we celebrating? Well, Epiphany means revelation or sudden insight. And today we're celebrating the revelation of Jesus to the wise men. The revelation that the young child in Bethlehem was actually the promised Messiah, the King of the Jews. Now, Tony touched on this last week when he was talking, and I'm going to use exactly the same passage he used, but I'm actually going to look at different aspects of that passage. The passage that tells us the story of the wise men is from Matthew's Gospel. It's chapter 2 and it's verses 1 to 12. And this is what it says. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. A few years ago, I remember the children of this church here in West Kirby putting on a very unusual nativity service. They pointed out the many differences that there are between the popular image of the Christmas story and the biblical account of the Christmas story. We see nativity plays in schools up and down the country. We see films. We see all sorts of representations of the nativity scene. And this nativity service that was put on by the young children, I think it must have been about 5-6 years ago, pointed out just how many discrepancies there were between the popular story and the biblical account. One of the many differences was that the wise men were not present at the birth of Jesus. Their involvement was a little later in the story. And I remember over coffee after that service, how many people were surprised to recognize and realize that fact. That the wise men were not in the stable. If we read again what verse 11 in that passage tells us, it tells us that the wise men visited the house of Jesus, not the stable, not the inn. The wise men visited the house of Jesus, who was with his mother. What it says is, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. Where the idea came from that they went to the stable, I don't know. But early church historians speculate that at the point of the story where the wise men find Jesus, he's probably between 1 and 2 years old. Now, that's not just a wild guess. It's based on scriptural passages, one of which is the one we've just read, where Herod asks the wise men about the star, when they saw it, where they saw it, about their journey, how long it might have taken. And we're told in verse 16, we didn't read that verse, but verse 16 of this passage is interesting. It says this: when Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. When Herod decided to slaughter all the children under 2 years of age, he did it in accordance to what they told him. Now, whatever their story was, and it's not recorded, Herod calculated that if he killed all the children under two, he would have killed Jesus. So whatever their story was, he based that decision on what they'd told him. So that's one reason we think Jesus was between one and two. Clearly they were in a house. That's what it says. They went to a house, and Jesus is referred to as a child with his mother. Not as a baby, not as an infant. As a child with his mother. And the other bit of scripture that helps us to work out that there was a time lapse between Jesus' birth and the wise men visiting is in Luke, in his Gospel, chapter 2, verse 39. It says, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. They only returned to Nazareth after they had done everything required by the law of the Lord. Now, if you want to know what's required by the law of the Lord, if you're interested enough, it's in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And it's details of what a mother must do after the birth of a baby to purify herself. And it's quite lengthy, and it can take months and months. They also have to dedicate the firstborn to the Lord in the temple. And we know from the Gospels that they did that. They brought Jesus to the temple and they met Simeon and Anna. So because they had to fulfill everything required by the law of the Lord before they went back to Nazareth, they would have stayed in Bethlehem for months and months. And that's where they were when the wise men came. So there is scriptural logic behind why the early scholars assumed Jesus was between one and two when the wise men came. But it's quite a surprise to some people when they recognise that. And yet there it is. They went to a house. They didn't go to a stable or to an inn. The other fact that came out from that nativity service about the wise men is there's nothing in scripture that says there were three. It just says wise men came from the east. We know there were three gifts, so it's not unreasonable to speculate there may be three wise men. But we're not told how many wise men there were. We're told there were three gifts. So what is Matthew's account able to say to us today? Why do we still celebrate this Feast of the Epiphany, remembering the wise men? Well, it's quite an important thing, because at Jesus' birth, the good news about who Jesus was given to Jews. It was given to the shepherds, wasn't it? So the shepherds had the revelation, the epiphany of who Jesus was. And then these wise men represent the outsiders, the non-Jewish parts of the world. They'd come from a long way away. They represented totally different cultures. They were, without a shadow of a doubt, outsiders. They were astrologers. Astrology is forbidden by scripture. They couldn't have been more outsiders. And this revelation of who Jesus is, he is the Son of God, he's the Messiah, he's the King of the Jews. That revelation was given to these outsiders, to these foreigners, these non-Jewish people. And that's important, isn't it? Because what that says is God, his love, his forgiveness. It's for everyone. In those early days, the Jewish people would have thought he'd come for the Jews. He did come for the Jews, but he didn't come just for the Jews. The wise men represent the non-Jewish parts of the world, the outsider, the person with a different belief system. And God came to embrace people like that. The important thing about this passage is to say that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, what your background is, what your belief system is. It didn't matter then, and it doesn't matter now. God can still draw people to Jesus no matter where they are, no matter what the circumstances. God can still draw people to Jesus. And I know that personally in my own life. Many of you will know my story because I've shared it a few times. Suffice it to say for this morning that I was 35 years old and an atheist, and a backstory that was decidedly unchristian when God met with me. It didn't matter what my belief system was. It didn't matter what my background was. God wanted to meet with me. God wants to meet with anybody who is ready to meet with him. And what was true in the time of the wise men is just as true today. It doesn't matter what your backstory is. God is longing to reveal himself to you today if you don't already know him. He's ready to give you your very own epiphany, your very own revelation. But back to our passage. We see in verse 12 of that passage that having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. After their encounter with Jesus, nothing was ever the same again. Nothing was ever the same for the wise men. We don't stay on the same road when we meet Jesus, do we? We find a new road, we find his road, we find a new way. So, here we are at the beginning of a new year. A new year when people traditionally make resolutions. Why don't we make a resolution that we have a new determination to follow Jesus' road, Jesus' way this year, with more determination than maybe we've done in the past? After all, we know it's the only railroad that goes anywhere. But how do we do that? It's easy sometimes to trip a sentence off the tongue, isn't it, and say, yes, I want to be more determined to follow Jesus' way in 2021. How do we do that? It is a time of year for making New Year resolutions, isn't it? Maybe we can think of a spiritual resolution this year. Never mind resolutions about gyms and diets and new regimes. Maybe we could make a spiritual resolution this year. What would you like to see in your church? What would make a difference? What would you long for in your church? We might all have our own ideas about that. I would love to see more new Christians, new people coming in with new ideas, fresh excitement. New Christians bring energy. That's why I'm involved in running Alpha courses. I love the idea of trying to bring new people into the church. What would you like to see? Doesn't have to be the same as what I'd like to see. Think about it and pray about it. And then ask the question for your New Year resolution. What can I do to make that happen? What part could I play in bringing about whatever it is I would like to see? No church is perfect. No church is perfect. What can we do to make it more like the church that God wants it to be? What would you like to see and how can you make it happen? They're the sort of things that we could think about and pray about. And by doing that, finding that determination, finding that new zeal and vigour and energy to go on the road that Jesus wants us to go down, rather than the road that we feel comfortable going down. Now, it may be that there are people watching this, listening to this, who have known God but feel very far from God this morning. And there may even be people watching or listening who don't know God, who are interested but actually don't know God. Can I just encourage you, if you're in either of those camps, that your New Year's resolution should be to do something about it. If you're feeling far from God, do something about it. If you don't know God but you're interested, do something about it. What can you do if you're feeling far from God? There's no easy answer. There never has been. But start a process. Get in touch with somebody you trust. Get in touch with a Christian who you trust. Talk to them about it. Pray with them about it. Speak to your elder, your fellowship group leader if you have one. But do something. Because being stuck in the same old place means you're stuck in the same old place. New Year's resolution, if you're feeling far from God, do something about it. If you don't feel there's anybody you could go to like that and you'd like to remain even anonymous about it, just message the church through our Facebook page, through the website, to get in touch with somebody. And if you don't know God but you're interested, can I encourage you to think about the online Alpha course that this church is running, precisely for people who are searching for spiritual answers? All the details on that course are on the West Kirby United Reformed Church website.